The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
But today's message, I've entitled, What is the Power of Fasting? What is the power of fasting? And I hope you can see that screen. It's a that's bread, if you can't make it out, in the background. So it's I wanted you to see that. In John chapter 4, verses 30 through 35 in the New International Version. We'll use that for our text this morning. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is indeed meat and drink unto us. And as we study this morning, Lord, as we spend time talking about you and the things that you said and how they apply to our lives, I ask that the Holy Spirit would open our understanding, teach us the things that we need to know through the living word, that we might be the men and women of God fully equipped to do what you have us to do. Lord Jesus, I trust you right now to speak through me to the very hearts and minds of your people, not only here in this building, Lord, but those who are watching by the internet, that they might hear the word of God. And we pray together, and we ask these things in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Bible starts out with food in the book of Genesis. And it ends up talking about food in the book of Revelation. And everywhere in between, it's hard to find a chapter that doesn't say something about eating of food or something to do with this thing that we have that we all enjoy so very, very much. Food, as you know, was the cause of the fall of man. When God discovered Adam and Eve hiding themselves, they finally fessed up and said, I actually ate. And the reason she ate is found in Genesis 3:6, and it says this, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Food is very attractive to us. We have appetites. If you don't eat long enough, you get hungry. If you're not getting hungry, there's something wrong with you, all right? Very natural thing to do. We look at food, and it's pleasing to our eyes most of the time. If you have a plate of spinach, I promise you, it's not pleasing to me. I don't eat spinach. I don't eat grits. I don't eat mush. You know, that's just not me. But I'm into potatoes and steak, you know, salmon. You know, I love the way it looks, love the way it smells, love the way it tastes. But, you know, food can be good for us if it nourishes us. If you eat nourishing food, it's good for you. Your body needs it. Try living without food. Anybody here living without food? Raise your hand. There's nobody here. We're all just raising our hand over there. We know better. Nobody lives without food. We need food. I believe that's God's part of God's divine plan to keep us dependent upon him. If you don't have food for a while, you'll learn how to get it some kind of way. Well, some of you discovered that during Katrina. Well, you didn't have any food. You didn't have any fresh water. And it was a big problem for you. We all had to learn to eat MREs, you know, meals ready to eat. Those things are terrible. But they tasted good when we didn't have anything else. But food can be bad for you on two occasions. One, if it's not good food. You know, we were talking earlier in the ministry time about food and things and vitamins and other things. Most of the food that we buy is not good for us. It's got preservatives. It's got hormones. It's got stuff I don't even want to know about inside of it. And when you eat it, you are in many ways poisoning your body little by little by some of the bad stuff we're eating. I know you don't want to hear that, but that's the fact. You need to do some reading on that. I know Miss Bobby's done a lot of reading on that. Am I telling the truth, Miss Bobby? A lot of that stuff is just bad for you, and you know it. It's like putting a spoon, you know, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. In this case, it's a spoonful of arsenic makes your body go down. You know, we need to be careful about the things that we're eating. And if we eat too much of it, overeating, eating past our necessity for life, to eat food that is good because it just tastes good or because we just want to have some more. I mean, it's hard to sit down and look at television and not eat something. You know, grab them chips, grab that ice cream, you know, grab those Twinkies, you know, whatever it is that turns you on. You know, in our house, we have this problem. We like to eat something sweet, then you need something salty to counteract the sweet, and then you need something sweet to counteract the salt. And it's a never-ending thing. You know, there's a trail from the sofa to the pantry. You know, just we make this trip. I find Pat and I have our most intimate conversations in the pantry. I want to say, what are you doing in here? I'm looking for something sweet. I said, I'm looking for something salty. We did it last night. Am I telling the truth? I mean, it's weird, but that, you know, that's what we do, and we're eating ourselves into the grave. Fasting is one of the most powerful tools in the kingdom of God for believers. And we have ignored this. We've just said, oh, well, that's not for me. And you've got a whole list of reasons why it's not for you. Well, I'm sick. I'm going to be sick. I have to do it because I'm taking this medication. You know, that's in the Old Testament. Or, you know, you make up all these rules and regulations as to why you don't want to fast. I noticed the crowd's a little thinner today than it was last week because they knew what I'd be talking about. All right, I'm going to get to them one way or the other, all right, and get the news to them. If you love some of the people on here, pick up a CD after services, bring it to them, all right? Say, you need to hear this message. Because fasting is important. Man, one of them's out there blowing a horn. Go out there and see what's going on. One of you have the alarm went off in your car. If they're stealing it, I hope you have insurance. The need to fast is found so many times in the scriptures, I cannot enumerate them all. But to categorize them and to group them together, fasts were called by religious leaders such as Samuel and Ezra. Religious leaders called for a fast. Sometimes political leaders called for a fast. People like David and Nehemiah. They were called for personal reasons. People like Esther and Paul and Daniel. They were called for times of repentance. People like Noah, Joel, and Jeremiah. And then Jesus spoke about fasting when it came to demonic things. So there's lots of reasons why fasts were called by a whole variety and a whole host of people. What's happened to us here in America today, we've gotten too sophisticated for this. You know, well, you know, we're not weird Christians. You know, we don't want to get too carried away with this concept of, you know, fasting. And I think we miss a lot. I think there's a lot wrong in our lives because we don't fast. When we decided to do this 3 years ago for the first time, many of you were here, and we all said, how in heaven's name are we going to fast for 21 days? Some of you can't fast for a meal. How are we going to make it for 21 days? Well, boy, we did it. And we learned a lot. And we stumbled, and some fell by the wayside. We picked him up and carried him along. Some fell by the wayside, and they're still there. You know, but you know what? this is amazing. We had 100% of the people who participated in the fast, nobody died from fasting. Ain't that amazing? You know, people say, well, if I fast, it'll be bad for my health. The best thing you can do for your health is to fast. Detox your body. Get some of that poison out of your system that's in there. In fact, you'll find as the first several days of fast, you'll begin to find your body start detoxing. You'll have some odors and some oozing and some, you know, I mean, you're gonna get cleaned out, folks. I'm not going into too much detail on this, but I'm telling you, it's going to do you good to cleanse your system just from a physical aspect, not to mention the spiritual aspect of it. So what we're going to do today is I want to talk about the powers of fasting as Jesus saw it, okay? Jesus is always a great place to go for information. And the first thing about fasting is that fasting permits you to eat God's power food. It permits you to eat God's power food. Verses 31 and 32, let's go back to that for a minute. Now, you all know the setting of this. This is the Jesus and the disciples met the woman at the well. When they got there, they needed some food, and so they went into town to get some food. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. She's the one that said, you know, would you give me some water? And she said, he said something about her husband, and she said something about her husband. Come to find out that she had five of them. The guy she was living with wasn't her husband. That whole scenario went on. I'm not preaching on that this morning, but that was the setting. The guys came back from town, and they encountered Jesus. And when they got there, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. Now, why would they tell him that? Because he hadn't had anything to eat, you know? And I suspect that Jesus was not real big on eating sometime. I suspect that. I mean, it doesn't tell me exactly that, but I just suspect that. Rabbi, eat something. Kind of like your cat, Summer. Eat something, all right? But he said to them, wow, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. What is that? And they and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but one of them said, did he get lunch somewhere else? You know, was there, you know, Piccadilly's nearby? You know, did he go to, you know, Key's Nose and get a sandwich? Or, where did he get food from? Did he get it from somewhere else? So what is this thing? This is what I want you to know. If the only food that you eat comes from the ground, has been walking around on the planet Earth, or swimming through the water, you are on a starvation diet. If that's the only food you're eating as a believer in Christ Jesus, is the only food you're eating is what walks on the ground, or comes from the ground, walks on the planet Earth, or swims through the water, you are starving yourself to death. Now, a lot of what's wrong with you and what's wrong with the church at large is that we have not eaten of the spiritual food that God would have us eat of. You know, there's a new craze out there that I call power food. You can get a power bar. Have you ever eaten one of those things? They got so much sugar, it's got dominoes written on the side. I mean, it is filled with sugar. And very little nourishment. They just put stuff in there to hold the sugar in. You know, and you eat one of those things, boy, it'll give you a buzz. But, you know, that wasn't enough for our society. Now, and they sell them in, of all places, a drugstore. You can get power drinks. Now, they used to be able to get up, you know, just like one of those little, you know, water things. It was a power drink. But, oh, no, that wasn't enough for us. We always have to go to excess. Now you get a little thing about this big, and I don't know what's in it, but I wouldn't drink that for all the tea in China. Only God knows what's in that. In fact, I was in the drugstore the other day picking up some aspirin, and and they were right there on the counter, and I said to the young lady who was standing next to me, I said, man, what is that stuff? And she had a whole handful of it, and I didn't know. She said, oh, man, this stuff will keep you going. I thought, yeah, it'll keep you going. It's probably loaded with caffeine or something else. Now, every mom and every nutritionist ever born on the planet knows that if you keep eating that kind of power food, you're going to do something bad to yourself. That's not good for you. That's not the kind of power food that Jesus would have you to eat. So what was Jesus eating? Well, you can't eat what he ate. You can't eat what he ate while you're still on earthly food. You're going to have to get off of it. Stop. Listen to me, friends. Stop thinking of reasons why you're going to ignore me. I cannot be ignored, and I will not be ignored. And I know your brains. I know what you're thinking. Oh, well, he's not talking to me. Oh, yes, I am. I came prepared today to speak to you. And some of you haven't signed up yet. Well, I don't have to sign up. I'm going to do a private fast. You can fast privately some other time. I want you to fast with us. I want you to be a part of it. Well, you know, but Pastor, I got this problem. And if I don't eat 3 meals of poison food a day, plus all my chips and my other stuff, I am going to die. Oh, you are. Oh, you are. But if you want to eat of what Jesus was eating, you're going to have to get off that stuff. Are you trying to tell me the only way I can eat with Jesus is if I fast? Well, today I'm saying that. Tomorrow I may change your mind, but that's what I'm saying today, because that's my topic. I believe that's where you got to go. Jesus wasn't eating when this subject came up. He was hungry. He should have been hungry. And they said, why aren't you hungry? Why don't you want some food? And he said, I have food to eat. I'm asking you this question. Do you have spiritual food to eat that Jesus was eating? And if the answer to that is no, then you need to do something about it. Now, if you're happy with your life and everything is going really great, and you have got it all together, and you're eating all this wonderful food, I want you to come up here and preach this sermon for me, because you know more than I do. But if your life is not where you want it to be, and your health is not where you want it to be, and your family is not where you want it to be, you need to pay attention to me. And you need to start eating some of this food that Jesus was eating of. When you close the refrigerator door, you will be opening the door to heaven. Go down to Lowe's or Home Depot or Ace or some good hardware store. Get yourself a padlock. Screw that baby onto the refrigerator and onto your pantry. You probably need two. Get a combination lock, but don't look on the inside to see what the combination is. Lock it and walk away. I might have to do that. I don't know. If you, George can do it if you want him to. Let George do it. George has got to get one for his own house. You know, then he's going to come to your house and he's going to come to my house and lock the place down. Now, I'm being funny, but I want you to know that this is very important. It's serious. I'm asking you as your pastor and as your friend to join with me on this adventure and this journey of fasting, that we might eat of the food that Jesus ate of. What Jesus did, he was eating of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what he was eating of. Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, this word, now you've always thought, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but I want to give you another way of looking at this, that this word is talking about the Bible. And I believe that that's an application. But I believe there's more to it than that. And the reason I believe that is Jesus was called the bread of life. Is that right? Yeah. He was called the bread of life. That's why I got the overhead up here with a picture of bread for you, as you can see that. He was the bread. We need bread to live. As they did in that society, much more so than we do today. You know, that's why they had wheat. Wheat they made bread out of. And it was a staple of life. In fact, if you go to prison and you've been really bad, they'll give you what? Bread and water. That's it, all right? That'll keep you alive. Jesus will keep you alive. He is the bread of life. He is also the manna from heaven. He is what God gives. He is the gift of God. What happened in the Old Testament when God gave manna? Was everyone happy? No. What did they want? They wanted something other than what God had given them, didn't they? Well, I've got to have quail. God said, you want quail? I'll give you so much quail. You'll hate this quail. And he did. I think that's a picture of us today here in America. You want food? I'll give you so much food. You'll be sick of your food. Some of you are sick of food, and you don't know how to get off of it. I'm telling you a way to get off of it. By going on a 21-day fast, disciplining your body, and doing it victoriously so that you can get some spiritual food in you to give you victory over the food that you've been eating. There's a quiet amens, but they were out there. Jesus said this, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you won't even get in the kingdom of God. And on the day before he died, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body. Take it and eat it. If you think he was talking about bread, you missed it. He was talking about eating of him, bringing him in that close proximity of your life, making him the substance that gets you going every day and keeps you alive and gives you strength for day to day to live in this world until such time as we get to go home. The book of John said, and the Word did what? Became You know, when Jesus told people they had to eat of his flesh, you know what they did? They walked away. They left. Said it was a hard saying. They wouldn't put up with that. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, are you going to go too? And they said, where could we go? You alone have the words of life. See, the nourishment you need is to eat of Christ. Partake of him on a daily basis. You can't go 2 hours without eating and snacking on food. Why is it you can go 2 days and 2 weeks and 2 months and God knows how long without eating of the Spirit of Christ? Living on natural things instead of eating of the food that Jesus had. Always amazed me. I found out many years ago when studying that when this baby that we just celebrate was born on Christmas Day, that first Christmas that we celebrate each year, that they say that they laid him in a manger. Actually, what it says is they laid him in a feeding trough. Why would they put Jesus in a feeding trough? Because he was the bread of life. He's the manna from heaven. He's the nourishment of our souls. See, what Jesus was eating of was not anything earthly. He was eating of God the Father. He was eating what God had said. He was in communion with his Father. He was doing the business of his Father. And that's where you'll get your strength and your substance from, is eating of Christ day by day. And the best way to get yourself in a frame of mind and a mindset to eat of Christ is to deny yourself food during a fast. Fasting puts aside the desires of our flesh so that we can partake of him. So how do you partake of him? Just some practical things. Just have a conversation with him. Just speak to him. Some people call it prayer. If I ask you to pray, you probably won't. But if I ask you to talk to him, you might. have that dialogue with him. You know, Paul said that we are to pray without ceasing. How do you do that? It becomes an integral part of your life. Whether you're driving on the road or you're laying in your bed or you're just a normal course of life, your mind is set on him and you're having a conversation with him. Spending time in the scriptures. Just reading it. Just letting that living word become part of you as you partake of it. Memorizing scripture. Someone brought me a scripture, I think it was last week, if I'm not mistaken. Said he had a message from God for me. And boy, and I took that. If somebody says you got a message from God, I take it seriously, especially if I trust a person. And it was so important, I started memorizing it. I want to know it. I want it to be part of me. I don't want to have to go get my Bible to see what it says. I want to ingest it. I want it to be part of who I am. That's eating a spiritual food. Now, some of you make it up. Yeah, but I can't memorize anything. I couldn't memorize anything when I was at school. You know, I've never had a bad memory. I can't remember where I leave my car keys. You know, I can't remember anything anymore. I'm getting too old to remember anything. Well, if you exercise your mind, memorizing the scriptures, your mind might get better. You know, you don't use it, you lose it. Oh, you're losing your mind because you don't use them. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I know it. She's over here helping me. Worship music. Turn off F-O-X. If you can't spell it, it's Fox. Put O'Reilly in the bin for a while. Not you, Tommy, but the other O'Reilly. The more famous O'Reilly. You know? Get Greta off of there. Get, what's the other guy? How'd you know that?
Guilty, huh?
Turn on some worship music for the next 21 days. Let me tell you something, friends. Listen to me. The world will spin without Fox. It'll spin without talk radio. It will revolve. Isn't that amazing that it'll do that? It doesn't need you to make it happen. They're going to... I got to watch some more words. The people elected into public office will continue to do things that irritate you whether you know about it or not. But if you want to feed your spirit, if you want to eat of spiritual food, get yourself some good Christian music that will minister to your soul and to your spirit that you might hear the word of God through music. If you haven't got one, get one of Reggie's CDs. This is the only thing I'll let you charge for around here is Reggie. You got to pay $10 to get it. If you don't have $10, let me know. And I won't loan you money. You just get $10. I don't want to be a borrower or a lender, but
it's the money you save by not eating.
The money you save by not eating, you can afford one of Reggie's CDs.
One.
But listen to some spiritual music. Turn it on. Let it play throughout your house and your automobile. Turn off some of those preachers. Some of those preachers you don't want to be listening to anyway. They're so whacked out. Some of them, I don't know where they get their stuff from. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you need to, get some good book by Jensen Franklin and read that. I highly recommend that book. It'll nourish your soul. Giving will get you closer to God. For where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. That's a part of a threefold cord of prayer, fasting, and giving. I'm praying about something about that, by the way, but I don't have a clear directive from God yet, or at least I'm not listening, but I might have a surprise for you about that. What I'm about to say right now, I don't want you to misunderstand me, so I'm going to give a little disclaimer. But I believe it's absolutely 100% true because it's happened to me. There's a special place that you can come to in your walk with the Lord that is so intimate and so real. You will feel His breath upon you. You will hear His word so clearly. It'll be as if you had stereo headset on your head. And you will experience the presence of God. There is a place like that. Some of you have experienced God like that. And some of you have longed for it again. And I'm telling you, there's a way back. It's not the only way, but it's the best way I know to get back. It's through a time of fasting and prayer and seeking God. Why does it say seek God first? Because God knows we need to seek Him. It's not that He can't be found. It's that we need to put aside all the stuff that keeps us from looking for Him to begin with. You're not going to find God over a meal when you're praying, God bless this food, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Man, if that's the best prayer you got, you're in trouble. That won't do it for you. You need to push that plate aside. You know, I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating. There was a guy in our community who was very, very poor. He had cerebral palsy. His wife had a terrific stroke. She was paralyzed on one side. They had 5 children, if I remember right, living in a dumpy trailer, living on hand-me-downs. I mean, they were poor in the natural. But in the supernatural, this was one of the wealthiest families I have ever met in my life. And he told me a story one time where he and his wife and his children were sitting down at a meal. He said, in the way he said, Brother Morris, we always pray when we eat. And you can understand me better than I could understand him. He had very bad speech impediment. And he said, as we began to pray, started thanking God for everything that He was doing for us. Said the food started to get cold. Said Helen and I told the kids to go ahead and eat. And Helen and I went in the bedroom and prayed for several hours, thanking God for everything we have. And he told me that story, and I said, what a fool I am. I've got more than he ever dreamed, and here's a man takes him hours to thank God for everything he had. I'm telling you, that man knew how to eat his spiritual food that Jesus was speaking about. And we can be the same as Leonard and Helen. We can be the same as the disciples. We can be the same as Christ. But it's going to take the discipline of our wills to decide, yes, I can do this thing. And yes, I will do this thing. And give notice to your body, to the devil, and anybody else who wants to listen, that I will do this, and I will be victorious in it, and I will get into that place where God wants me to be. Amen. And you can do it. Did I ever get to point number 2? I'm going there right now. Fasting enables you to do the will of God. It enables you to do it. Let's look at the first part of verse 34. My food, said Jesus, sometimes the Bible answers the question for you, is to do the will of Him who sent me. The overwhelming question of life is not what you want to do, but what does God want to do? We're so tied up in what we want, we don't ever listen what He wants to do. How rude is that? How rude can that be? Do you treat other people that way? Aren't we trying to be generous and cordial to people? What do you want to do? Let's go to the movies. What movie do you want to go see? You know, that's the natural course of good Southern folks, isn't it? We always try to be generous to people, you know. Let's go to, it'll happen after services today because we're all going to have the last meal together. And The question will be, well, where do you want to go? You know, well, I like Mexican. I don't like Mexican. Let's go someplace else. Let's go eat Italian food. You know, we'll graciously finally come to a common denominator and we'll do that. Well, we never ask God what he wants to do. We just tell him what we want to do. Amen? God, I want to do this. God, I want to have this. God, I want to go there. And he says, well, you can go. I'm not. If you want to be by yourself, that's fine. And that's exactly what ends up happening to us. Your flesh wants to be pampered, and it wants to be satisfied. It just loves comfort, doesn't it? Oh, I love the most comfortable chair in the house. I had a guy told me one time, you can find out what kind of servant attitude you got is the way that you go into a restaurant. And when you walk into a restaurant, everybody kind of scans the table to see where they would like to sit. They want to sit facing the window, or they want to sit facing the view, or they want to sit facing the TV if the Saints are playing. You know, that's what we want to do. He said, if you've got a good servant heart, what you'll do is pick out the best seat and give it to somebody else. It tells a lot about who you are when you're willing to do that. I've done that once. No. Put down your fork and knife, and you'll begin to see what he sees. You'll begin to see things the way Jesus sees things. You know, Pat and I went to a movie. This happened about a year or so ago. We decided to go to a movie. We lasted in the movie less than 3 minutes. I said, I'm out of here. They were talking about stuff I didn't want to hear. You know, we're going. So we left and we went to the next movie. I mean, same building, went to the next movie. 30 seconds, we were in there. I'm out of here. We picked up and we walked out. We went into, I don't know how many, we finally ended up in Toy Story. I'm not a Toy Story person, but let me tell you, we ended up in there. So we sat down, and I looked at the screen, and it was blurry. I thought, oh my God, my eyes are going bad. The screen's blurry. And I looked at Pat, and this other lady was with us, said, what is wrong with this place? She said, it's 3D. You got to have 3D glasses. I said, I don't have any 3D glasses. Where do you get 3D? In the lobby. I went in the lobby. I didn't know you had to pay for them. I was so demanding. I got them for free. I said, give me a pair of those glasses. And the guy says, well, you didn't get them when you come in? I said, no, I want them glasses now. I'm already in here. I'm in Toy Story. I can't see it. And he gives me one. I said, I need 3 pair. And he said, oh, okay. And I was really not being very nice. But he gave me my 3 pair. And we went there. We put them in. Everything cleared up. You know, and what we do is we see God fuzzy. You know, it's just not clear. What we need is some spiritual 3D glasses. You know, those lenses are different. You put on one, and one of those lenses is prayer. The other one is fasting. Put on prayer and fasting, you'll begin to see God. It's a silly illustration, but I think you get the point. Jesus began his ministry with a 40-day fast. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus fast for 40 days before he began his ministry? Is there a message in there for you and me? Yeah. That there was something that had to happen in a fast for the King of Glory, the incarnate Christ, that he had to deny himself of food and water for 40 days? Amen. Friends, if Jesus had a fast for 40 days, does it seem reasonable to believe that we should fast at least 21 days on a Daniel fast? I think it does. He fasted for 40 days so that when he got in the garden 3 years later and he was crying out to his father, sweating great drops of blood, he could say, Father, if it be possible, take this cup away, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Hey, you're that place in life. If you need to be there and you're not there when it comes to the things that are going on in your life, your family, your friends, your job, your finances, your health, then you need to be in a place where you can do it. And I'm telling you, a 21-day fast will help you get there. What is the will of God concerning you? Is it another toy? Just make your toy whatever you want it to be. Is that gonna be the will of God for you? No. Is it another meal? Is one more steak from Copeland's going to really make it for you? All that butter and garlic? Miss Rose said earlier about eating garlic's good for you. You eat enough garlic, you'll keep the doctor away. You'll keep everybody else away too. But I mean, you know, this is, was that going to do it for you? How's about just a little bit more money, another raise in pay? Some of you have gotten raises in pay and you were so excited for a day. And then your standard of living went up and you don't have any money again. You're using it to buy more toys and more meals and everything else. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Anybody know the rest of that passage? For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Let me ask you a question. Does this describe you? Are you joyful? Are you prayerful? Are you thankful? Some of us would say, yeah, sometimes. When you find yourself not joyful a lot, you're depressed, worried, concerned, not prayerful, you got the prayer life of a gnat. You got little darts you throw at God. Oh, God, give me a good parking place. Oh, God, take care of my family. Oh, God, do this. Thankful? Yeah, thankful what you got, not what you don't have. Worried about getting one more piece of this world that's not going to do you one lick of good? If that's the will of God, for you and I to be joyful, prayerful, and thankful, don't you think we ought to do something about it? How can you do it? How's about a 21-day fast together with me? I believe we can do it. I believe it'll make you joyful. You'll be so joyful in 21 days just to get a meal. Just to see meat again. That'll make you joyful. You'll be thankful. Oh, God, you'll have the best prayer you ever had over a meal. God, thank you for this meal. I'd advise you not to drive by some of the restaurants in town where they have little smokestacks that pump out the smell of all the good food. You don't want to do that. Not during the fast. Let your spirit soar by denying your flesh in this fast with us. All right, the last thing I want to talk to you about is fasting empowers you to finish your mission, your life's mission. Look at verses 34 and 35. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, isn't that interesting? Do you not say? I tell you what they were saying and what he's telling them. Open your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. You know, the Saints had a motto last year that brought them to the Super Bowl. Remember what it was? Finish strong. That's the way you want to do it. Huh? You want to finish strong. Jesus didn't look at the process. He looked at the results. He said he despised the shame. He endured the cross for what? For the joy set before him. You don't look at the process, you look at the end result. Nobody's going to be happy about fasting, least of all me. I like to eat. I got leftover cookies at home for Christmas with green and red sprinkles on them. They're going to rot. But no, I'm throwing them away. I don't want them around because after I'm finished this fast, I'm not eating any more of those things. Pat and I have a way of getting through hard things. It's our own little way of survival in life. And it's a key word for us. It's sausage. You never want to watch it being made. You just want to sizzle it in a pan and eat it. You know, it's the same way with fasting. Don't worry about the process. Worry about how you're going to finish and the end results. Don't be worried about, oh, I can't have anything. I can't have my favorite food for 21 days. No, you can't. But if you worry about that, you're never going to make it. The goal in finishing is to get closer to the Lord. The process becomes bearable when you know the results are good. This is good for you. It's good for me to do this. You know, nobody wants to run a marathon of 1 mile unless you're in a nursing home. That would be something. But nobody runs a marathon. Oh, I ran a marathon. Wow, 26.2 miles or whatever it is. Oh, no, no, just a mile. No, I'm working my way up. Is that the way you're going to do it fast? I'm going to work my way up to it. Oh, man, I fasted. I didn't eat one potato chip the whole 21 days. That'll get you close to nothing. Jesus wanted to finish strong, and he did. Isn't it interesting that when he finished on the cross, on Calvary's tree, he said what? It is finished. Written right there on that banner for you. It is finished. And you want to finish strong. Not only the 21-day fast, but your entire life. It's not just the 21 days. It's your life we're talking about. It's your spiritual relationship with the Lord. It's about all that's going on that you need some help with. And one of the sermons I'm going to preach is going to have to do with fasting with a purpose and some of the purposes that we should fast about or could fast about. Your finish line is more than that. Listen to this. Jesus' men were thinking about food. Jesus saw a wheat field. They were looking at a loaf of bread. He was looking at all the bread that could be made out of a field. They were thinking about food. Jesus saw a soul of souls in that field. You're thinking about a fast. Jesus is thinking about your life. And what can happen to you doing it? Is the goal of finishing strong, or are you going to be serious about it? How serious you are will determine how well that you do during this fast. If you're serious about it, you're going to know it, God's going to know it, and your archenemy, the devil, will know about it too. And he's already got plans for you. Some of you making plans to go on this fast. He's already got plans to mess you up so bad. He's already helping you get some excuses going as to why you can't do it. As I said earlier, if you get serious, you won't be just, you know, abstaining from Twinkies or chips or in-between meals, snacks. You know what a fast is? You know what it is by definition? The absence of food. Now, some of you already figured out because we're calling for a Daniel fast and you can have veggies and fruit and broth and soups and fruit juices and, oh, you say, well, I can just fill up on that. You're missing the point. That's to keep you from dying. I don't want you to die. Some of you are not going to live for 21 days. Some of you might. Not all of you will. No. So I want you to have something. And I'm talking about myself, too. When you're serious, you won't be making excuses to fail before you get started. You make up your mind that you can do this thing. You're not too old. Some of you think, well, yeah, but you're not pastor. I'm old. I can't do this. I'm not the oldest here, but I'm close to it. If I can do it, you can do it. When you're serious about it, you won't start making plans to fail before you get started. Well, you know, Brother Morris, I tried this last year, and I just couldn't do it. I made it for 3 hours. And then it was just too much. I just had to have something. No, you can do this if you make plans to succeed and not plans to fail. You can do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. It won't be in the natural. You know, I'm giving you some things this morning about some of the food that's appropriate, but you don't want to be legalistic and you don't want to be ritualistic about it. Do what you can do, but don't make it so easy that you're not feeling it. But don't make it so hard that you can't do it. Somebody say, well, yeah, after this sermon preach, I'm going for 40 days. I'm on water for 40 days. I wouldn't recommend that unless God told you to do it. But don't just say, oh, well, I'm just going to skip breakfast. What kind of fast is that? How's about eating when you have to, if you have to? That's what I plan on doing. I'm not going to eat till I have to. And I will. Somewhere along the line, my body's going to say, oh, Morris, you don't feed me. I'm going to break down on you. You're 71 years old. I know I look like I'm 51, but, you know, you're 71 years old, you know. You need this, you know. And I'll say, okay. You know, you get the shaking of the hands and, you know, the quivers in the knees and, you know, your blood pressure vacillating or something. Yeah, I'll eat something to keep me going. But I'm not planning on eating a meal. I'm not planning on every night, you know, getting the veggies and frying them up and eat them, you know. Yeah, when I get hungry, I'll eat something. But just when I have to. See, I'm serious about this. I want to come out of this in 21 days with something new and fresh. You know, last year we did this. The Lord gave us me the vision, which I shared with you guys, and you latched onto it, about us going on the internet. Here we are, a year later, and we're doing it. I mean, we're broadcasting to the world. They're out there. Hi, y'all. We did it. It's incredible. In fact, there's going to be an article in the newspaper about us last week. A reporter came here. My days are messed up. Was it Friday? Was it Friday? A reporter came here, took pictures of everybody, and the high-tech guys came back here. They were in a little media room, and I sat down and told him why we were doing and what happened. And he wrote me, when he got back to his office, he wrote me an email. He said, the more I think about what you guys have done, I'm impressed. He said, I can't believe y'all have done what you're doing for a small little church. It was fasting that got us there. I believe if we wouldn't have fasted, I'd never got the idea. That's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I think. Maybe you've been having problems, physical problems. You know, maybe you're having family problems. Maybe you got problems so big you just don't know how to solve them. Maybe you're sick. Well, this is a good way to go. Now, because I want to be politically correct, you know, and it's in the paperwork you've got, you know, you talk to your doctor. I talk to my doctor after the fast. I follow my own advice. I talk to my doctor, but I didn't want him to tell me no. So after I did it, and I told him what I did, he said, oh, that won't hurt you. It's a good doctor. You know, it's a nourishing. You'll get enough nourishment to keep you going. But join with us, would you please? Just join with us. Do what you can and be a part of it so that you'll feel a part of what's happening. And in 21 days, on January the 23rd, we're going to have a great time of celebration. I want some testimonies. We had some last year and the year before. I want to know something happened. Nothing's too big and nothing's too small. Little things and big things. I want to hear about it. And we're going to share them. We're going to, you know, all during the 21 days, something happens, send me an email, call me, tell me, and I'll broadcast it to everyone so they'll know. So that we can have an awesome time of victory in Jesus in the church. Amen? Amen. Next week, God willing, we'll be talking about some of the benefits of fasting, and I'll cover some of that. That was kind of my plan.